Welcome to the Voice of Truth.
Jim Moore, Jeff Arnold.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Whenever you're watching this, for us, it's afternoon right now.
Yeah. If you guys are ever wondering why sometimes we get different camera angles or if it's not centered up, it's because
he can't ever get satisfied.
I'm the cameraman, and I have to run over there and do it, and I can't half see, and I don't know if we're centered up or not centered up, or if it's up or down. Or I was looking last time, I said, man, I hope they can see our Voice of Truth, Rhythms of Grace.
Can you see that? Just send a comment and tell us if you can see it or not.
Yeah.
That would help us out.
Yeah. It's a rookie cameraman. You know,
you do good.
We're just trying to, really, our goal was not to be all professional, but to share the gospel.
That's right.
Share the gospel. So we started on Monday with 666 and Antichrist. Let me go back and give you the definition of the beast. I got a lot of notes here, guys, as well. It got a little while in. So the number 666 is Revelation chapter 13, the beast from the sea. It represents the politics of empire, the systems, the structures, the religion around us that constrain our imagination and make us believe that what we see around us right now is all that we can hope for. It keeps us from wanting or from working to make the world a better place. That brought us into John's gospel. You shall know the truth. The truth will make you free. And I was just kind of looking at that a little bit because one of the things that Jesus, you know, you'll know the truth. How did John chapter 8 start out? A woman caught in adultery. Mm-hmm. And so she's bound. She's constrained. She's I'm not condoning her actions. They were not right. Okay, but she's constrained. They, you know, the law. They bring her to Jesus, throw at Jesus' feet. You guys know the story. He writes on the ground, you know, he that's without sin cast the first stone. Then he says some amazing statements here. Because really, Jesus is about redeeming. He's about restoring. He's about healing. And we will take this beautiful, beautiful example of the restoration and healing of Jesus and kill it with one little statement that Jesus makes because we don't understand it. So I want to look at that. So Jesus is wanting to bring liberty to this woman, right? Mm-hmm. So he basically gets rid of the scribes and the Pharisees that are there, the rulers. They go away. He that's without sin cast the first stone. Then Jesus says, woman, where's your accusers? Neither do I condemn you. Right? And we kind of get this picture. And then he says this, go and sin no more. So we think, oh yeah, that Jesus is pointing the finger and said, woman, I'm letting you off the hook this time. But if you mess up again, that's it. You know? And this is kind of how it comes to us. And you know, it's like, well, my gosh, you know, there's no liberty in that. There's no, you know, one of the things when you read the scriptures, you can read them with your own bias and your own upbringing, your own tone. You can see your dad looking at you saying, son, I'm letting you off the hook this time, but next time I come in this room and it's a trashy mess, I am going to wear you out. Right?
Yeah.
So we read that into the story. That's really not true. What Jesus is doing with bright eyes and a smile, he is inviting her to walk in this new liberty of the kingdom. Go. You don't need that anymore. You're free. Go. And don't be bound by that empire system and structure again. You don't need that. There's a brand new beginning here. A brand new world, a brand new kingdom that is at hand. This is an invitation for this woman to walk in liberty. Now, they don't get it. So as it goes on, there's these arguments going on. And then Jesus comes at him again and says, you'll know the truth. and the truth will make you free. They still don't get it. We're Abraham's seed. We're not in bondage. And he said, look. Look what you did to your own people. This woman caught in the very act. All you can do is condemn and crush and stomp dreams and keep them bound up into this. I've come to set the captives free. That's what he does.
Amen. You know? And that's exactly what he done with this lady.
Yeah. So you see the event. And, you know, you just can't pull it out of context. It's all connected, as we've seen when we went through the parables. You just can't read it here. You got, like we did with Legion. I mean, man, you just can't jump into the Gadareans, right? We got to come from the boat, man. Mm-hmm. We got to come from the feeding of the 5,000, get in the boat. We got to spend some time throwing water out of the boat and feel the salt in our face of the wind and see the peace be still and then feel this anxiety and scaredness of Jesus and what kind of man is this, and then step on the shore and be met by this bleeding, naked, crazy man that calls himself.
It's all in perfect sequence, ain't it?
Yeah.
I mean, not that everything is pre-set, right? But God is so amazing that
the way they recorded these stories, they are.
Yeah.
The way they recorded these stories, they are. So, you know, we see that right here. So, you know, let's go back to, you know, there's a lot we can say in John chapter 8. Man, I want to chase that rabbit. Let's go back to 666. Or, as we said Monday, 616. According to the Greek, 666. According to the Latin, 616. The beast from the sea.
I'm not texting people, just so you know. I was sitting in a pulpit one time, and my daughter said, Daddy, what are you doing up there texting? You're supposed to be listening, right? And I'm like, I had a verse I was looking for, so I'm looking for it.
Okay? I'm looking on my phone. Yeah.
So I'm just looking up verses.
Yeah. Sure. Wait a minute. I just got a text. It says I got a text from Jeff Arnold.
Really?
Yeah. Just kidding. So 666 or 616, the beast from the sea. Let me go over it again. It represents politics of empire, systems, structures, religion around us that constrain our imagination and squashes our dreams, if you will, make us believe that what we see is all that we can ever hope for. What empire really wants us to do is believe there's nothing that we can fundamentally change about our world. So it pushes down, squashes the imagination, keeps us from working for this new commonwealth and kingdom of God that Jesus invites us into, which would bring us to, here's a verse for you, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. I won't read it all, but Paul writes, casting down
imaginations
and every high thing that it exalts itself, exalts itself, mm-hmm, against the knowledge of God. Empire. 666. I mean, that's what you have right here.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
Principalities, powers.
You know, we'll get into this maybe a little later. But do you know under, and you think, well, America's a Christian nation. Do you know Rome was a Christian nation? And you say, well, no, there wasn't. Constantine made the Romans a Christian nation.
Mm-hmm. I knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were a Christian nation. Oh, isn't that amazing? The Brits, I mean, you could go on and on and on. You know, I hear some people talking about, and they don't really understand. They're like, oh God, we got to pray for our nation. We got to pray our nation will turn back. Listen, it's already doomed. I hate to tell you, but every empire is doomed from the get-go. I'm just telling you right now. You don't have to believe it. History's on my side. The scriptures are on my side. Mm-hmm. There's only one that is not doomed, and that's the kingdom of God.
That's right. I mean,
it's plain as day. Uh-huh. And America is not that. Neither is Russia. Neither is China. Neither is any of these.
It makes me go back to Daniel.
Yeah.
Every kingdom Every kingdom shall be dashed to pieces.
Yeah.
Except his.
Strong language. And we get to participate in it. And so this book of Revelation is warning us about, it's warning us about his empire. These systems, these structures that elevate the powerful and squash and oppress the weak. That's what empire does. Elevates the powerful. Remember, every high thing that it exalts itself. Remember, Jesus said when you come into the synagogues, what? Take the low seat. Don't exalt yourself and take the high seat. At least somebody greater might come in and tell you to move down. Take the low seat. Well, empire is all about oligarchs. It's all about the rich and it's all about the powerful. And let's keep the middle class, every empire has them, let's keep the middle class enslaved, we'll throw some bones to the poor people, and we'll stay in power. Mm-hmm. That's empire.
Do you not see it?
I mean, that's empire.
I mean, do we see it? Do you not see it?
And Revelation uses this image of this terrifying beast from the sea, and it associates this number 666 with that beast, or 616, depending on the manuscript. So let's just go read Revelation chapter 13. And let's just see it right here. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon his 10 horns, 10 crowns upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. The beast which I saw was likened to a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is likened unto the beast? Who is able to make war with the beast? Does this sound familiar? We're the greatest country in the whole world. I'm just saying.
It does.
Who can make war with us? We would squash them. Mm-hmm. We're the greatest. We got the greatest military in the entire history of mankind. They call the presidency the most powerful office
On the planet.
Who is able to make war with the beast? So empire comes in, and what does the church do? The church cowers in the corner at mighty Pharaoh and says there's nothing we can do. Mm-hmm. Until the rapture comes and takes us out of here. And then God sends an asteroid and smashes the planet to pieces and makes a brand new world over here. We're indwelleth peace, and he'll get it right this time because he's going to lock the devil out.
Right. Oh, yeah. We hear it all the time.
You know, listen, if you study a little bit of history, just in our time, you had the British Empire, you had the Dutch Empire, the French Empire, just a little bit of history here. I hope I don't get our YouTube taken down, but do you know in the 50s that the Vietnamese people wanted to oust the French out of Vietnam because the French were oppressing them. Empire. So they come to the United States for help. You know what the United States said? No. You got nothing for us there. We don't want nothing for us. So you know who they called on? They called on the Russians. So the Soviets come in to give them arms and stuff to oust the French. So you know what that means? That means now we can go to Vietnam and we can have a Vietnam War and we're really going to be fighting communism, stomping out the ever advancement of the evil empire because we're the good empire.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, this is what happens.
You see where he's going?
Yeah, this is what happens. So what happens? So in World War II, what really happened was the Dutch Empire was over. The French Empire was over, and our president maneuvered so that we could replace the British Empire which that's why they waited so long to get into the war, till the Brits were done and would make any deal to have our help. And then you know what happened? America replaced the British Empire. So now all of the other countries around the world that we establish and hold up is, you know what they are? We call them countries to make it sound politically correct. They're just our colonies. Just like we were the colonies here, Jamestown and all that. We were just little colonialists. Mm-hmm. Well, these people are just the colonists.
And I can tell you this.
Paying homage to the empire.
People that are caught up in the empire and people that believe in the empire, they will be infuriated by what you're saying right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what will happen.
Oh, I know.
What are you saying?
Yeah.
We are not what I thought.
Yeah. See, that's what they said. We're Abraham's seed. What do you mean? We're the chosen. We're it, man.
Oh, I hear you.
Yeah.
I know exactly where you're coming from, my man.
Yeah. Yeah. And, this is why it's so overwhelming when you pull back and you begin to see the bigger picture. Because this is revelation, right? This is a pulling back to see what is really going on here. We're not looking for
it. It dashes your kingdom to pieces, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah.
It dashes your kingdom.
Yeah. So back to this number 666. If you go back to the second century, both of these numbers show up. 666, 616. Okay? Both of these numbers tell us what the writer was talking about. And both of these numbers are pointing plain as day to Nero. Almost any commentaries you will read in the book of Revelation will point to Nero. Now, you can kind of get into a little bit of controversy here, because some say the book of Revelation was written in 69 AD because it had reference to the fall of in 70 AD. I believe, and I think I could prove it out, that Revelation was written around 95 AD under the rule of Domitian, not Nero. And I know you think, well, oh my God, so how do you deal with all this other stuff? There's a verse in Revelation 1:3. It says, "Blessed is he that readeth and understand and keep the words of this prophecy." So in other words, this book of Revelation wasn't just written to first century Christians. It is relevant to you and me today. Mm-hmm. And 1,000 years from now, it'll be relevant to those people.
Yep.
And in the 1500s, it was relevant to those people.
Sure.
When we can understand what Revelation is showing us, warning us from.
Yeah, because there's nothing new under the sun, is there?
Right. So they knew it was talking about Nero. So what do we do with that? Nero was horrible. Rome had caught on fire. Half the city had burnt down. Some say he started the fire. But anyway, he blamed the Christians. And he would impale Christians and burn them. And some say he lit the streets of Rome with Christians burning.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was a...
He used them for torches.
Used them for torches. Yeah, he was a madman. So, one of the reasons I believe the book of Revelation was written in 95 AD, just one of the reasons, is because John, when he writes this, is on the Isle of Patmos. Mm-hmm. Nero didn't exile people. He put them on a pole. Domitian exiled people. So, and there's some more stuff there too, but that's for another video. So how do we get 666 or 616 as Nero? We've got to answer that question. We know that because of the Greek spelling and pronunciation of Nero, or in Latin, Neron. Not moron, Neron. It adds up to 666 in the Hebrew gematria, if I'm saying that word right. And the Latin spelling and pronunciation adds up to 616. Now, what this tells us is that the scribes were adjusting the text of Revelation to suit their audience. If they felt they had an audience that was more familiar with the Greek pronunciation, you know, scribes, these are the ones that are writing the book out to send it out to this church and this church, because they didn't have copy machines,
right?
You know. So if they knew that was a more of a Greek audience, they would use 666. If they knew it was a more of a Latin audience, they would use the number 616. But they knew exactly who this was speaking of. They wanted to make sure that that message was not lost on their audience. Okay, so they wanted to make everybody know, this is Nero. This is Nero. Now, let me explain a little bit. Hebrew gematria. In the Hebrew script at the time of Jesus, they didn't have symbols for numbers. They didn't use the Arabic numerals the way that we do. You know, like we make a 7. Boom, that's an Arabic. They didn't have that. You know, we make a 10, a 1, and a 0. They didn't have that. So what they did was they assigned certain numeric values to every letter in their alphabet. They didn't have vowels. They had 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And each one had a number. So when you read in the Hebrew manuscripts that Solomon brought in 6,666 talents of gold, it wouldn't be written out 6,666 talents of gold. It would be written out in letter form, right?
Okay.
That's because they didn't have numbers. Okay, so what? I mean, we can't think that way because we got numbers, you know. When you wanted to write a number in the Hebrew, it would be a string of letters. Now, depending on the context as you read through a sentence, they would know whether that was meant to be a word or it was meant to be a number, because it was using the same symbol. So if we were in Hebrews, an ancient text, and Jeff wanted to know how much it cost, I could write back and say the cost is $2.35. But you would know in the context of the sentence, instead of saying $2.35, it would be a series of...
Let me interject something right here. Now I'm just going to throw it in there, and I hope everybody listens to this right here. Somebody might be watching this video and say, golly, Jim, you're making it way too complicated. You mean to tell me I've got to learn all that before I understand Revelation? And you say, well, I should just be able to read it and understand it, right? Now look, let me put it in plain Jane English, I guess. Me and Jim was born in 67. If I say to him... 1967. If I say to him, the Bears beat the Eagles, he would know exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about a football game. He would put it... He would know, understand what I'm talking about. If it was somebody from another century, and I said that to Jim, the Bears beat the Eagles, they're looking at a zoo... A fight in a zoo or something.
Yeah.
You know, they have no idea.
How did the bear catch the eagle flying? Yeah, how did it come up in a tree?
That don't make any sense to me. So it's important to understand when they're talking about Nero here, they knew it, right? And the only way we're going to know it is if we dig down and find out.
Yeah, that's right.
So we're not making it super complicated. He's not trying to make this thing super complicated to where you can't get a hold of it. He's just trying to explain that we are jumping back into their time and their language and their grammar.
Well, that's why he would say it's the number of a man. Right? Yeah. I mean, the scriptures in Revelation. Now, we know what you and I were taught. Well, it's just us. No, it was a direct reference to the beast of the sea was Nero. Everybody knew that. You know, conclusion.
They knew when the first century church knew exactly what they were
talking about. They knew exactly what it was talking about.
Now we're going. Let's go back there and read that first. The revelation of Jesus Christ was God gave him to show the servants things which must surely come to pass. He sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Bear record. And we'll skip down. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep the things which are written therein, for the time is at hand.
Now, to get a hold of that, to understand, you got to get back in that time to where their grammar, you're connecting with the way they spoke, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. All right, continue on.
Okay, so we got to ask the question here. So what does Nero have to do with this, and what's the significance there? Because if it was Nero, then you and me, we should never be scared of 666. There's no warning for me because it was Nero and I'm done with it. Nero's gone.
Yeah.
Right? Who cares? It's over. This ideal of the beast from the sea is talking about the power of politics and empire and the way that systems and structures around us constrain us, even religion, and lead us down certain paths. They stop us from dreaming about things that are bigger. They stop us from dreaming.
So when people come to you and say, look, this revelation, it means something to me in my time. You bet it does.
Absolutely.
Sure it does.
Yeah.
But because Nero is dead and gone, doesn't mean that you don't look at this and see a reoccurring thing here.
Mm-hmm.
This empire is still much there.
Yeah. Yeah, and so we, this empire, this number here, where we can't imagine our world a better place. So the alternate natural conclusion, if we cannot imagine the world a better place, is what? Rescue me out of it. Mm-hmm. That's the natural conclusion. I understand it, really, because if you have no hope, I'm going to be looking, I want out. So what we want to do is readjust that and bring the vision back. Where there's no vision, the people
perish. That's right.
Perish. We want to bring the vision back. Come and see a man. Right? We want to refresh that and bring it new and inspire. This is why we come together, to encourage one another. Why would we do that? I mean, what is my encouragement? Oh, hang in there, man. The rapture won't be long.
All right. Or you'll be dead soon. I mean, I hear that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Don't bother me with that. I'm not here much longer.
Yeah.
I've heard that more times than once.
Yeah. You see, that's empire that has squashed the dream. And empire, again, comes to us, constraining us, wiping our imagination from
out. And motivates you for zilch. It motivates you for nothing. You're just waiting. Mm-hmm. You're just sitting on your hands waiting.
Yeah. So what the writer does here is he constructs this image of a beast that has 7 heads, 10 horns, 10 crowns, and one of those heads we saw had a fatal wound, but he's come back to life. And that combined with 666 or 616 is again a reference to Nero. Let me tell you this real quick. In the time of Nero, as we end this session of the Roman Empire in the first century, Nero had been Caesar, who had died by suicide. That's how Nero died. But there was something called a Nero Redivivus legend. And that had made its way throughout the empire. And this was the legend that Nero actually died, or that he had he had not died by suicide, but had actually gone into hiding and would one day return to take the throne again. That was the root. And remember, this guy's ruthless. He's crazy. So the people were worried that he would come back.
The same rumors of Hitler.
Yeah. And in fact, in the first century, they had a couple different people showed up in Rome claiming to be Nero resurrected, but they didn't take them very seriously. And guys, it's not much difference in the 70s and all the way up through the 80s and 90s. People still seeing Elvis.
Right?
I mean, we think, oh, Cam, we're not. People still seeing Elvis. Mm-hmm. 50 years later, we're still seeing Elvis. Yeah. God rest his soul. So the writer of the Revelation grabs a hold of that, not because he believes that Nero can return from the dead, not that he believes Nero's in hiding, but to say actually this Nero Redivivus legend that making its way throughout the empire is speaking something very true and very important about empire. And it's this idea that it doesn't matter if Nero is gone, there'll be another one to rise up and take its place.
There it is.
Yeah.
And we're out of time.
Yeah. So you cut one head off, just another one comes up.
Every time.
We see it over and over and over.
Yep. Hope you enjoyed it.
Hope you enjoyed it. Hit the like button if you can, man. Guys, we appreciate it. And we will see you Friday with the conclusion of 666. and the Antichrist. God bless. Don and Jeff and myself, we really want to thank you guys for tuning in. You don't know what it means to us to have you guys listening. The one thing that you could do to help us out is hit that subscribe button. Leave us a comment. Ask questions in the comments if you want. I am going to leave a link. I'll post it down below for our church services on Wednesday and Sundays. I put those on a different YouTube channel. So I will share that with you guys, give you the link so you can go see what time. We would love to have you come and join us. And, you know, we just love putting out this voice of truth, having our discussions. What you see is what you get. We try to put them out every Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays at 9 a.m. I will tell you, I'm a full-time pastor, but I also work full-time. Jeff works full-time, so it's hard for us to do those things all the time. But again, we're so thankful you tune in. Thank you for all the subscribers. If you haven't subscribed yet, hit that button. You can hit the notification button. You'll know when they're coming out. And guys, again, we are so thankful that you're tuning in. Man, thank you so much. We will keep bringing this stuff to you. And we will see you again. Lord bless.